Hello everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We hope that your minds are alert and that you are focused. We have a lot to share with you today on our career article, and I've got two great friends with me here in the studio. We've got Gordon. Hi Gordon, thank you for coming back today.
Hello Campbell, I'm back and I'm looking forward to the second half of this article about focusing and letting your mind drift.
That's right. Now, Gordon, can you share with us some things that you learned from yesterday's article?
Well, yesterday we talked about our normal tendency to want to focus and maintain that focus when we're working.
Mm-hmm.
But we were surprised to learn that sometimes it's nice and better for us to let our mind wander, daydream a little, and that'll help us be more effective in the long run.
That's right. Well, we hope that you will stay focused with us, though, for this half an hour as we study this this article, and then you can let your mind wander and go elsewhere. All right. And we also have Amanda here with us today. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Campbell, and hello, listeners. It's good to be back and just delve a little bit deeper into this article about maybe allowing your mind to wander and letting it produce creative thoughts you'd never thought about before.
It's true. Now, reading through yesterday's article, was there anything that struck out to you?
I think for me, it was the fact that, like at the top, we have that little sidebar, creative problem solving, that mind wandering is a time of creative incubation. I never thought of it that way, that it actually allows you to be more creative.
Right.
You know, oftentimes we're told, oh, don't waste time.
Right.
You know, that daydreaming is a waste of time. I think even, you know, as a teacher, when your kids daydream in class, you're like, oh, great, we need to bring you back into focus.
Right.
But this is actually saying that it's a good thing.
Yeah. So it is about learning how to kind of schedule that into your day, which is kind of strange to say, you know. And maybe it's not about scheduling, but it's allowing yourself when your mind does start to wander, to allow it to wander for a little bit. But, you know, being careful about not doing it so much that you are wasting your day, right? And we did talk a little bit about the difference between being effective versus being efficient. You know, a lot of times we do hope that we want to be efficient. We want to get a lot of things done at work. But is that the best use of our time? You know, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that today in our article today. So let's get started with our article on page 11, and we're going to be reading through line 20.
Though spending time this way won't shorten your to-do list, research shows that it pays off in other ways. There are studies that show that mind wandering actually assists with focus, says Maura Thomas, founder of RegainYourTime.com. Useful insights come when you allow your mind to wander. That's when you digest and synthesize information. Letting your mind wander is not the same as getting distracted or sidetracked. When your mind gets absorbed by another task, it doesn't shift back as readily or resourcefully. And not fighting the mind's tendency to drift is not the same as saying to heck with focusing. The ability to focus gives you a competitive advantage because so few people can do it, Thomas says. She recommends that people prone to distraction build up their focus muscle by setting a timer and working uninterrupted for 20 to 45 minutes at a stretch.
All right, so we are getting another perspective on this topic today. And again, we were talking yesterday about being effective versus efficient. And when we do find that when we do allow our minds to wander at times, perhaps this is not the most efficient way to get things done, right? It says at the beginning of our article, though spending time this way won't shorten your to-do list, research shows that it pays off in other ways. Now, what does it mean for something to pay off, Gordon?
Well, it means that what you're doing is actually going to be rewarding and produce what you want it to produce.
Mm.
So we see here that it's not doing exactly like the direct thing we're trying to do, which is to complete our list of tasks, but it's rewarding us in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we hear from Maura Thomas, who is the founder of RegainYourTime.com. All right. And she says that there are studies that show what, Amanda?
That mind wandering actually assists with focus. Useful insights come when you allow your mind to wander. She says that's when you digest and synthesize information.
Hmm. So when you allow your mind to wander, okay, it allows you to digest and synthesize information. And this connects back to what we were talking about yesterday about the creative incubation. It allows you to come up with creative solutions that you may not have thought of before, right? Okay, so when we synthesize something, when we synthesize information, it allows us to process it and to be able to create a solution or a product from it. Okay. So it says letting your mind wander is not the same as being distracted or sidetracked, right? So we were talking about this earlier, that it's not about just letting your mind get distracted and going do other and going off and doing other things.
Right. You mentioned earlier just, you know, it's not that you allow your whole day to be wasted. This is just short periods of time that you allow yourself to just allow it to drift for a little while and then come back on focus.
Right. And so it talks about when your mind gets absorbed by another task, it doesn't shift back as readily or resourcefully. So I guess the idea is that you're allowing your brain to think of other things, but not get focused on those other things, right? Do you guys have a problem with this, getting sidetracked and distracted at work?
I think it can be a challenge when you have a number of different tasks to do. Sometimes it's nice just to work through one task completely, but if you're trying to balance many tasks, you do a little bit of one and you get sidetracked by a little bit of the other. And and we talked about effectiveness, and I feel that sometimes when I'm doing that, I'm not very effective at either task because I keep shifting. The article here talks about being resourceful. I'm kind of wasting my mental energy between two tasks, but neither are getting a very good stint of work.
Right. Yeah, so I think the key is the idea of these mindless tasks, these tasks that don't need a lot of mental energy, right? So maybe that is why they don't recommend checking your email or recommend taking care of personal matters like bills and online shopping, because that requires you to focus, right? Whereas counting cars or just playing a simple game, it doesn't really need your mind to do too much thinking, so you can bounce back to your task more quickly and more easily.
Yeah, I have a window and I tend to look out the window for a bit. You know, we're next to a hill where we are here, and maybe just watching the birds fly in a direction or looking at the greenery for a little while, just for a moment, and then coming back to my screen has really helped a lot. So I don't get sidetracked into doing another activity like you mentioned, the email or the news or things like that, but just it is very mindless. Hey, look, there's greenery. And then coming back to the task at hand has really actually helped me a lot.
That must be nice to have a window.
So welcome anytime.
Thank you, Amanda.
Amanda has an office with a window. The rest of us have cubicles with walls.
I used to be your neighbor.
It's true.
But we're not too far from a window, listeners. We can wander down to the end of the office, and there is a nice big window there.
Or wander through my office to the balcony. That's perfectly okay.
We can distract your focus for a little while.
There you go.
All right. So coming back to our article and regaining focus, we're saying that not fighting the mind's tendency to drift is not the same thing as what, Gordon?
as saying to heck with focusing. And to say to heck with focusing, this is kind of a phrasal verb we have here, which we mean by just saying, well, never mind, we don't need to focus. That's not what this new research is telling us. It's not saying we have to give up focusing.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing is obviously very important. And what the article is going to be telling us now is, in contrast to some of the stuff we discussed yesterday, why focusing is still important.
Right. So allowing our minds to drift is a good thing, but it's not the same as saying, well, then we can just do whatever we want and we don't need to focus, right? Because the ability to focus actually gives us something special, Amanda.
Right. It gives us a competitive advantage because so few people can do it.
This is true. I find for myself, I have a hard time focusing sometimes. And I think it is a very special task and a skill. It takes discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is something that a lot of people struggle with, self-discipline.
Mm-hmm. I would say, I think I've mentioned this on other advanced radio shows, but for me, I was really bad with my time management before and, you know, meeting deadlines. But I, like you said, it's a discipline. And I found even with this too, it is a discipline to make sure you're focusing on the task at hand, not allowing anything else to interrupt you. But you can grow it. It's like a muscle. You can exercise it and get better and better at it.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So, speaking of muscle, Maura Thomas does recommend something, right, Gordon? She recommends that people prone to distraction do what?
Yeah, she says that they should build their focus muscle, which is exactly the term Amanda just used. And she's obviously not being literal that we have a muscle, which is our focus, but it's just reminding us to train our minds that we can get better at focusing. By her suggestion is to set a timer and work uninterrupted for a stretch of time, so for a certain period of time. And she suggests maybe 20 minutes, 45. I guess we're going to start with 20 if we're particularly prone, likely to distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we'll get used to doing 20 minutes at a time of focused work, and then we'll try 45 minutes.
Right.
And that's probably the limit at 45. Maybe then we need to let our mind wander for a couple of minutes.
That's right, yeah. So it kind of goes back to what I was reading yesterday about the article I found online about recognizing your decision points, knowing what are the things that distract you, what are the things that might pull your focus, right, and being aware of those points where you might be tempted to go and get sidetracked. You know, for me, I know that when I'm trying to write something and I get stuck, I kind of have that writer's block. That's when I kind of tend to lose focus and I tend to want to go and do something else. And I think it's good to maybe allow myself to daydream, but maybe it's not good for me to go on YouTube or to go on Facebook or check my email, something that will pull my focus completely.
Mm.
Right. So, I think this is a good suggestion to set a timer and work uninterrupted for 20 to 45 minutes at a stretch. So at a stretch means continuously or without any interruptions. So telling yourself, I'm going to work for these 20 to 45 minutes and I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to answer my phone. I'm just going to focus. And then when these 45 minutes are up, then I can allow myself to have a small distraction for a little bit. Maybe I can stand up and get some water or talk to a coworker and then come back and do another 20 to 45 minute stretch.
Mm.
All right. Well, this is an interesting article and it has some interesting points that we've been tackling and dealing with. And there are a few more suggestions that this article gives. Let's continue our article on line 21.
How we organize and manage our time is only relevant to the extent that we devote our attention. We do need to learn to devote our attention to the task at hand, Thomas says. The problem is we're conditioning ourselves into a state of constant distraction. We don't even try to control our technology and set it up. So, we're virtually guaranteed to be interrupted. Limit distractions. Davis says people booby-trap their workspaces with potential distractions and disruptions. Because the brain scans its surroundings for such things, you should limit or remove them. Keep the noise level down, your desktop tidy, and your telecommunications silenced or disabled when intense focus is needed, he recommends. Removing distractions in order to focus better may seem incredibly obvious, and it is, Davis writes. And yet, if you work in an office, then you probably know firsthand that most of us do very little to truly remove distractions from our workspaces.
All right, so we have a few more suggestions on how to make our work day and our work hours more effective. It starts off by saying how we organize and manage our time is only relevant to the extent that we devote our attention. So what does that mean, Amanda?
It means that whatever we're focusing on, we will also be organized and manage our time around that.
Mm-hmm. So we do need to learn to devote our attention to the task at hand, right? So learning to focus on what we need to get done and to keep that in mind, right? And not allow things to completely pull our attention, but to have that as kind of our guiding point, right? But then still allowing our minds to wander from time to time, but we still have that as the thing that will pull us back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Thomas says that there's a problem.
Yeah, the problem is that we're conditioning ourselves into a state of constant distraction. And I find this fascinating because I commute to work, which means I have to get on the city trains, the MRT, and I'm on my commute for about 45 minutes. And I've noticed, like, the world between my house and the office is full of distractions,
mm-hmm.
just bombarded by people and advertising and noise. I've gotten into the habit of reading on my commute into work. So trying to kind of maybe fight that like conditioning that we're getting into this state of constant distraction. And then if you just close off, that's troubling as well, because I don't want to close myself off completely from my surroundings.
Right.
Yeah, I think part of the modern world is this kind of level of distraction. We all have smartphones and email and there's noise. So yeah, do either of you two struggle with this kind of being bombarded with information out there?
Yeah, I think in some ways it's become a bit habitual, you know. I think about, you know, when you go to have coffee with a friend and they say, oh, I need to, you know, shoot to the bathroom quickly, and then you go checking your phone automatically rather than maybe allowing your mind to wander into this creative incubation. Like thinking about it, it is a constant distraction, but I've allowed that to happen. It's become a behavior, a habit for me to do that.
Right. I think all of us are so used to being entertained, you know, constantly, and our minds are being constantly, you know, occupied. And rather than allowing ourselves to have that quiet moment to think and to process, you know, and I think I've been trying to make more of a conscious effort to not reach for my phone as soon as I have a spare moment, you know, and to really allow myself some time to just sit and to be quiet. And I think a lot of our technology is set up where it is very convenient. I know my computer has those email notifications, so I'll be writing something and then the email notification will pop up and, you know, I'll get distracted and I'll be tempted to want to read what that email is or take care of it right away rather than continuing to focus. And so that is a big problem, is that we have set ourselves up to be distracted all the time. And, you know, in a way, this sounds a little contradictory to what we were talking about yesterday, right? Because we were saying that we should allow ourselves to get distracted. But in a way, we need to choose the distractions that we have, right?
Yeah, maybe we're talking about the right kind of distractions.
Right.
Yeah, distractions that don't tire us out or occupy our brain for long periods, get us sidetracked, as we've discussed.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I like what Thomas says here, that we're virtually guaranteed to be interrupted. Do you guys think that that's true?
Yeah, that's what I mean by the behavioral or habitual behavior. You know, it's simple things like putting your cell phone on the table when you're meeting your friend for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're almost saying, oh, it's okay for me to check my phone.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's one of my pet peeves is when I'm talking to someone and they are on their phone. They're checking their, you know, they're on their phone and they're like nodding their head and they're kind of listening to you, but I'm like, I'm sitting here trying to talk to you. Why are you chatting with someone on your phone?
Or at least communicate with you. Do you mind? Just give me 10 seconds. I'm just going to reply to this and then I'll be back. You know, you'll have my focus again.
Right.
So I think in that way, I think that's how we've virtually guaranteed ourselves to be interrupted. We actually allow it.
Right. And I think in a way, as Gordon was saying, sometimes we don't want to miss out, right? We're afraid that if we don't check right away, we might miss something important.
Right.
But I think if we really think about it, I think there's nothing in this world. We're not the president. We're not any major world leader where if we don't answer something right away, you know, someone's going to die, right? I think a lot of the things that we deal with, we can wait a few minutes, you know, or an hour or so before we go and check.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it's not just our private social situations. Here at work, we can, like, breed this culture of needing to be, like, to focus your attention on something that's just come up. You talked about emails popping up on your desktop. We have a function here that I'm sure many of you do that you can, like, mark an email is very important, or, like, demanding attention. And because we have different jobs here, we have to come down to the radio studio or the filming studio, they're very useful tools for our organizers and our managers to say, Campbell, you need to be here, like, in 20 minutes.
Right.
And that getting that balance between, like, making the most of these things that help us to improve and work together, but also not just always being dragged away from the work and having time to be concentrating on what you want to do.
That's right. Yeah. So Thomas has been talking about learning how to manage these distractions. And Josh Davis, the author we were talking about yesterday, also talks a little bit about this, right? He talks about how people booby trap their workplaces with potential distractions and disruptions. I think that's an interesting term, to booby trap your workplace. What does that mean, Gordon?
Yeah, you can see it in our vocabulary focus. I don't think I've ever heard of that phrase as a verb before, but you can see the noun defined there as something dangerous, especially a bomb that is hidden inside somewhere that looks safe. So booby trap is it's kind of like a trick, an item that's going to, and it, as the definition says, dangerous, it's gonna trap you and trick you. And I think it's describing it, the verb here is describing that we've put things around our workspaces that are going to distract us, but they're going to harm our productivity maybe.
Right, yeah. When I think of a booby trap, I think of those adventure movies, you know, where, you know, there's a guy who's trying to seek a treasure, but they have to go through, you know, like Indiana Jones, right? He needs to go through the cavern, and there are these booby traps. If he steps on the wrong tile, then something's going to go off, and there's a arrow that's going to get shot at him, you know. So these are things that you want to avoid. So a lot of us, we do that at work, you know. We like Amanda was saying, we put our cell phone on our desk, and you know, we have the emails that constantly pop up, and so we're creating an environment that allows for distractions and disruptions.
Yeah, I think about even in our email, if you look at your email, how many of them are alerts about either a great sale or you know, something that you are interested in, but those alerts might come twice a day into your email, and you realize, I just don't have time to answer every single one of these things. So we set ourselves up, don't we?
That's right. So these potential distractions and disruptions aren't good because the brain scans its surroundings for such things. And as soon as they come up, our brains are automatically drawn to them, right? Mm-hmm. And so what should we do instead?
We should limit them or remove them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it talks about controlling our environment here. And this is actually something I've seen in the office here. Some of our colleagues are very good at moving to an empty desk that may be in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
And by better here, I mean a position with less distractions.
Right.
There are some desks that are more hidden from everyone else, not by a door where people pass regularly.
Right.
And that's quite a clever way. If you say, I need to write this, I'm going to take a 45-minute stretch, and I'm going to write this document that I need to produce, and you just go away and do it in that one place.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and Davis gives us some tips here, and it's not just about our phones and our computers. He talks about keeping the noise level down, and sometimes if you're in an open workspace, that can be hard. So what I do, because I can't really work with music, some people do work with music, what I do is I'll put headphones on and maybe turn on some white noise, you know, like the sound of the ocean or the sound of rain. And that helps me to kind of block out noise, and then I can focus. Keeping your desktop tidy, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. That's actually one of those activities you can do to distract yourself for a few minutes, right? Keeping your desk neat. And I have a hard time with that. And I know that when my desk is kind of messy, I have a hard time focusing. And now, Amanda, you were talking about keeping your office and your desk area neat. How well are you at doing that?
I used to be a lot better, but that is something that should be on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Because I felt that as I've taken on different and more complicated tasks recently, my desk has become messier. I know where the piles are, but that would be very difficult if I was sick for a day and somebody else had to try to find things.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, I'm a creative person. I'm an artist, you know? And so sometimes even though my desk is messy, I still know where everything is. And actually, it kind of drives me crazy when people try, like at home, like my wife and my mother-in-law, they're very neat, mm-hmm. you know? And they'll try to tidy up, and mm-hmm. then I can't find things because they're not where I left them.
Right.
So then there's that balance, right?
Right.
And now Davis says that removing distractions in order to focus better may seem incredibly obvious, and it is, but do most people do it, Gordon?
No, I don't think most people do at all. I think I'm actually very different to you two here.
You are actually very neat. I've noticed.
If you see my desk. It's very tidy. I have a blessing and a curse that I cannot work unless it's tidy. So it'll always be the first job I'll do. I'll sort my files out, put everything in order, and then I can work. So if too much builds up, becomes a battle to tidy what's coming in and not actually do the work that's coming in.
I don't know. I mean, for me, I don't know how to be tidy, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's an excuse. What about you guys? We'd love to hear from you. What are some of the distractions that you face at work? How do you deal with your own time when you aren't able to focus? What are the things that you do to allow your mind to wander? And do you feel that this is something that helps you, or do you feel that it's something that might be a deterrent to you, something that might harm you? What do you think? We'd love to hear from you. Please do write to us. And also remember to check out our mobile website and our QR code right there at the top of page 10. And we do have one more day of this article. Please do join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.